about a very special topic. We're going to be talking about the VA scandal, and we're going to talk about some solutions. But right now, we're talking a little bit about some current events. And Kim was just telling us before we went to break about the Obama administration seeking a race-based government in Hawaii. And, you know, I think about the 14th Amendment of the Constitution. Since Hawaii is a state in our union, they joined us in 1954, they are protected under our Constitution. The 14th Amendment guarantees the same rights to all citizens of the United States. And what this administration is seeking to do is to segregate us again.
Yeah, it's astonishing, Molly. And this move was announced the Friday right before Memorial Day. It said, as White House officials and congressional Democrats stepped up predictions that the president will try to bypass congressional opposition to his progressive policy preferences.
And, you know, so let's talk about some of the differences between Native Americans and the Native Hawaiians. So when Hawaii became a state in 1959, I believe, that was the year I was born, yep. Right? So, y'all know how old I am. oops. That's all I can remember.
Get your calculator.
Yeah, Hawaii became a state in 1959, and so there were Hawaiian natives. They didn't separate out the natives and say, no, you're not American citizens. So the American natives and the Hawaiian natives are U.S. citizens. They already enjoy all of the everything that the other American citizens enjoy. They vote and everything else. Now, the Native American Indians were a conquered people, pretty much. I mean, at that time that we had treaties with them, and that was a whole mess too. But we had treaties with them, gave them separate land, actually forced them onto land that was not their native land, and all that. You know, there's a lot of injustice, but they were a conquered, kind of treated like a conquered people, and then separated out completely from the rest of the country and treated very differently for, you know, well over 100 years. So
the difference is
it's a very different situation.
It is a different situation. The Hawaiians came in as full citizens. In fact, they've had representation. Senator Daniel Akaka is a native Hawaiian senator. So representation, so certainly mainstreamed. And so the idea that our administration, who's always talking about inclusiveness, who's always talking about, you know, bringing us together, you know, it sounds good.
They say one thing and they're doing something
totally
different.
Doing the exact opposite. He is saying what we want to hear. We do believe that in America.
Right.
We have been the big melting pot. But instead, I think he wants us to be a big salad bowl.
I think a lot of people voted for him because they thought he was going to bring the country together. And it's not worked out that way, in my opinion.
Right. Well, and either we have a constitution or we don't. And if somebody moves into Hawaii, say from South America or, you know, another country, aren't they going to go through the same process to become a naturalized citizen of the United States? And aren't they going to make a pledge to the Constitution as well? And does this Constitution not apply to them anymore?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Wouldn't they have to change that process if they do this, if they start treating citizens differently?
Well, you know, isn't it just so strange? Because none of it makes sense. It doesn't make sense. They're making up the rules as they go along. This administration is doing some of the weirdest stuff. I mean, every administration does some weird stuff. But these guys are just kind of making up the rules as they go along, ignoring the Constitution right and left, ignoring the Bill of Rights. I don't understand why people aren't more angry about it. I mean, there are a lot of angry people, but, you know, maybe they all need a radio show.
Well, you know, I do think that people are becoming more and more concerned. Instead of defining by us by what brings us together, it seems that this administration is trying to define us by what separates us. And, you know, we have this group of women that we all get together and talk and, you know. And recently, one of the things that comes up is people are concerned about the divisiveness. Mm-hmm. And so for an administration that said they're going to bring us together, which is people believe that. But as you say, Jill, says one thing, does another.
Yeah. I think whenever you start to separate people out by their ethnic groups, colors of their skin, you're certainly not bringing the country together. But I think they're also using that separation, that separateness, to pit one group against another, to justify taking money from one group and giving it to another, to buy votes and to separate and to keep us separate. It's kind of like the divide and conquer thing.
Mm-hmm.
when we can't unite because of infighting or jealousy or envy between the groups, then we can't unite together to do what's right and do what's constitutional and stand up for our rights and property and so forth as American citizens.
Definitely. So we just wanted to bring that forward to all of you. And if you have any comments, certainly join the conversation. The second thing, and this will segue beautifully into what we'll be doing at 4:30, but this is from an AOL article that I saw. And the title is "The Military is Working on a Chip to Fight Mental Illness." So the military is working on a chip that can be implanted in our veterans that supposedly can stim, you know, if it detects that there's some kind of depression or something going on, that the brain can be stimulated. And I mentioned this to Jill and Molly this week, and,
wow.
and it brought emotion to all of us, I would say.
a little bit. You know, and we're going to be talking about the VA scandal. Think about this. You know, the military is kind of a captive audience, so to speak, for our government, potentially, and the government can require, or the commander-in-chief, i.e. the president, can require military to do a whole lot of things. And they are supposed to, and typically they are going to obey those orders.
But
this,
the assumption
this just frightens me and sickens me.
The assumption on this is that the commander-in-chief is protecting the Constitution as well. That the purpose is the same, that defending the Constitution, which in essence is protecting the American people. And when people are able to live their lives safely, they can live their optimum lives.
Well, and also, okay, I'm sorry, does such a chip exist? Boy, gosh, you would think we'd have heard about that a long time ago. Are they developing, I think you had some timeline, Kim, for the development of this chip. And so if this chip is being developed, and it's so great at mental illness, why wouldn't we want those chips to be implanted in a whole bunch of other people as well? Why just military? I just think this whole thing is a scam. I think this is just so scary. The idea of stimulating areas of the brain through an implanted chip, and who gets to decide who's doing the stimulating? I mean, you don't mess around with the brain. You just, I would never, ever have one of those things implanted.
It's really of great concern. But Jill, this is going through the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, which is DARPA. And it says they're launching. I didn't make it up.
DARPA, BARPA, whatever. You know, yeah, I got it.
So they're launching a five-year program. And per a Scientific American article that I saw, it says the Obama administration has committed $110 million next year and possibly billions over the next decade to what they call the BRAIN Initiative. And this stands for Brain Research Through Advancing Innovative Neurotechnologies.
Talk about controlling us by our health care.
So what, the military is the guinea pig? Is that kind of, I mean, this is just, this is like sci-fi.
It is.
This is like the stuff I watched when I was a little kid and it scared the crap. Wow.
It is scary. And, you know, I was looking into it. And I'm like, okay, let's look at historically probing the human brain. And I found this case in 1874, Mary Rafferty experiment. Are you familiar with
that?
Dr. Robert Bartholow. He found this woman. She had a cancerous ulcer in her brain. And he was doing this test on her and got her permission to do it, but of course didn't tell her what all was going to happen. He was administering small electric shocks directly into the brain. She began to spasm, went into convulsions, went into a coma, ended up dying from the whole thing. She had numbness, paralysis, motor weakness. After her final session, it said she became incoherent, slumped into a coma, and died.
Yeah.
And he was so enthusiastic. He was so enthusiastic to report he had induced the same type of seizure in a human that Ferrier had achieved in animals.